Okay.
So, we're still here in the second parak, in what he calls Gidrei Ha'adam B'Chazal, the terms, the defining qualities of a person in the words of Chazal. So we're up to section Gimel on the bottom, and he's going to present to us a Gemara and a Rashi and challenge this Gemara. And so in thinking about how you understand this Gemara, think about how you might anticipate Rav Volbi's challenge to this Gemara and what his takeaway is going to be and why this Gemara is not as it seems at first glance. Amar Rav Yochanan. So Rav Yochanan is one of the first generation Amoraim, sages of the Talmud, and he has an observation about us as people, as human beings. Adam. Adam is actually an acronym for Aleph, Dalet, Mem. Afer, which means ashes, and in the Gemara, in several places, the Gemara uses Afer and Afar interchangeably. Afer means ash, Afar means dirt. So usually we refer to people as Afar Minu Adama, earth, but it shouldn't surprise you that it's referred to as ashes because those two are often interchangeable. The Aleph and the Ayin sometimes are interchanged. So you have Afer, Dam, blood, and Mara. What is Mara? What's that? It is bitter. It's referring to what we call today, biologically, bile. That's what a person is, according to the Gemara. Ashes, blood, and bile. Ah, I like that. That's good. Says Rashi, Lama Nikra Shmo Adam. Why is a person called Adam? Shehu Efer Dam Emara. Klomar, second line here on at the bottom, as if to say, Kulo Hevel. Totally Hevel means emptiness. Look at that, it's absolutely nothingness. Lechach, therefore, Al Yisgoe. Don't be arrogant. So Rashi then goes on to explain what is Mara. Mara hi lach luchis. Lach luchis, lach means, what does the word lach mean? Lach means moist. Moisture, meaning something, a liquid. Lach luchis is Mara hayotis min hamerira shebekavi. It's the liquid that exits from the bitterness of the liver. So there is some biological, right? This is not so far off. There is some biological reference here. Obviously, it's a spiritual teaching, but there is a biological context here that the liver has a secretion, and then there's all kinds of things. There's a gallbladder, I don't know, there's stuff. So this Mara hayotzis min hamerira shebekavi, out of the liver, umiskaberes ba'adam, and it is elevated in a person. You can have different levels of, it could be that Rashi understands that this is maybe the Chazal's way of referring to hormones. Hakolafi hachadashim vishinui ha'itim. It depends on the time. Sometimes we have different levels of bile, so to speak, of hormones. Right now they do blood tests so they can check all the levels of the various things that you have in your blood. They can check your, I don't know, what do they check for? Vitamins and things like that, right? So these things, Rashi says, ulafi, now top left column, ulafi hama'achal shehu ochel, and according to what you ate. So if a person doesn't eat enough echbeis bananas and doesn't get enough sunshine, so they'll check your blood and they'll say, oh, that person has a vitamin D deficiency. So that's what Rashi is talking about, that this bile reflects all kinds of changes in the person from an endocrinology standpoint. Va'al yadam, through that boil chaloyim, comes illnesses. If a person has an out-of-balance they're out of balance in some level. And all kinds of problems and illnesses and ailments. Yesh shekorim, then Rashi adds one more, this is even more interesting. Some call bedivrei harofim merira shchora. In the words of the rofim, the doctors, they call them merira shchora, black bile. V'yesh shekorim merira aduma. And those who call it merira aduma, red bile. Different kinds of bile. So before we get to Rav Volbi's point, just notice a very interesting distinction here, that we have Afer and Dam, so that would be the physical components of the person. But the bile can be understood in two ways. In modern day Hebrew, how do we refer to depression? Anybody know? It's referred to in modern Hebrew as Mara Shchora, black bile. It's a holdover from Talmudic times. So I wonder if part of what this Gemara and what Rashi is alluding to at the end about things which go up and down, the Mara, that reflects the mood of the person. And that it changes with time and circumstance. And if a person is at the bottom, the Mara is the, right, this is the impurities that are being excreted, Rashi says, from the liver. So that's going to be sent out. If a person is overwhelmed with black bile, Mara Shchora, that is the Talmudic antecedent of depression. Okay, just put that in the back burner for a second. So Rav Volbi challenges this Gemara. The Gemara says that a person is a composite of Afer, Dam, and Mara. Ha'adam, first paragraph on the left side, new paragraph. Ha'im ha'adam hu rak, Afer, Dam, and Mara. If someone were to ask you, what is a person? You would say, oh, they're just a composite of ashes, blood, and bile. That's all we are. That's what we are. Halo hu Tzelem Elokim. A person is in the image of God. This is divine spark. What are you talking about? That we're just a bag of blood and bile and earth. Ubisvarim mevuar. And in the holy books, in the Svarim HaKadoshim, it says, Sheikar Adam, the main quality of a person, hu haruach. That's the person's spirit. Let's say the following. I once heard this mashal. Today, thanks to the Rabbona Shel Olam's gift of incredible medical advancement, scientists and physicians can do all kinds of transplants. They can do extremity transplants. Now there's even such a thing as a face transplant. So imagine if somebody, Lo Aleinu, required a transplant, or somebody was on the giving end of the transplant. So someone was in this room, and then the recipient of the transplant was in the next room. So the donor had his arm removed and donated to the person in the next room. So would the donor wake up, Lo Yitzur, and say, oh, I don't know where I am. I must be in the next room. No, because even though the person donated their arm, but their arm is not them, even if a person had a face transplant, right? The person who is receiving that face transplant would feel differently about themselves, obviously. But would they say they're a different person? No, because we all recognize that who we are as people, it's not what we look like on the outside, what we are physically, it's what we are spiritually. So that neshama, people call that their emotional makeup or their psychological makeup, their spiritual makeup. We call that the neshama. It's all the same thing. So Rav Volbi says, this Gemara, what is it talking about? We're spiritual beings, and you're telling me that a person is being reduced to Afer, Dam, and Mara. He says, it doesn't make sense to me. I don't get it at all. So he says, this is the pshat of the Gemara. Amnam. You know what the answer is? In Mishu Yazahe im Atzmo, the word Lizahot means to identify. If a person self-identifies im Gufo with his body or her body as their sense of self, V'yachshov, and they will think, She'ikar ha'adam hu aguf, nochichenu al ta'uso. We will clarify this error. We will explain to them, but that's a mistake. And he says, that is the pshat in this Gemara. We will tell him, ki aguf hu rak besar adam. The guf, the physical body, that's just the flesh of the person, but that's not the person. And doesn't that make us feel so much better right off the bat? Right? That it doesn't really matter how we appear at all. What's valuable about us is what's on the inside, not what's on the outside. And that's true for the changes that we undergo over the course of life. You know, sometimes in life we look like this, and sometimes in life we look like that. You know, That's the teva ha'chayim. That's the nature of life, right? Everybody, we look different over time. So do we look back at old photographs and we say, "Ah, I was a different person back then. I was a different person back then, and not because then I had only dark hair and now I have some gray hair." That's not what it is. It's because then I was developed in an emotional way, in a spiritual way, at a certain point, and now I'm at a different point. But it has nothing to do with the outside. And that's why when we develop relationships with people, we're not really developing a relationship with the outside, we're developing a relationship with the inside. That's really what matters. That's what we're connecting to. So Rav Volbe says, that's what this Gemara is trying to tell you. How do you look at yourself? If you look at yourself as a spark of God, so then you're very noble. Then you're eternal. Your neshama is everlasting. But if you look at yourself as a physical entity, so then what are you? Just a bag of, you know, ashes and bile and blood. He says that's exactly the point of this Gemara. Avol, I'm on the fourth line of the second paragraph. Adam ha-yodea, a person who knows. Chashivuso, his importance. Vashir komaso, shiur means the size of his height. Each one of you, each one of us, we are much bigger than we are physically, right? I don't know, what's the average height of the people here? We're maybe around, I don't know, 5'8", 5'4". Average, okay, maybe a little less, whatever. Average, 5'2". But from a spiritual standpoint, we're our sheer koma, the size of our spirit is much greater than that. So he says, that's the point of this Gemara, to ask, what ruler are you using to measure? If you're using a physical ruler to measure yourself, so then, okay, so I'm 5 foot whatever, 6 feet. But if you use a spiritual ruler, so to speak, then it's totally different. A person who realizes their level and their greatness, who yizahe es atzmo dafka in gufo lomar shu aifer dam and mara. A person who realizes their true inner spiritual greatness will actually look at their body, their guf, and say, ah, that's not really important. Now, it doesn't mean it's not important that we don't have to take care of it. We have to do exercise, and we have to eat healthy, and we have to make sure that we have a functioning vehicle to perpetuate our spiritual pursuit. But it's not really that important inherently. Someone once said over a great mashal, awesome mashal, that I think is related to this. A friend of theirs took a trip to the Grand Canyon. So when the trip was over and his friend came back, so what did he ask his friend about going to the Grand Canyon? What do you think? What was the question? Especially, I've never been to the Grand Canyon. So I'm curious, if somebody went to the Grand Canyon, they took a trip there, so they flew from Chicago to Phoenix or to Las Vegas, wherever they fly, and they rented a car, they drove to the Grand Canyon, they walked up and down, they walked down the Grand Canyon, they hiked, they slept over there, it was You know, they said it was unbelievable. So what do you think? What would I ask them when they came back?
Were you impressed?
Were you impressed? What did it look like?
Describe it.
How'd you feel exactly? Would I ask them, maybe at some point, but would my first question be was, what color rental car did you have? Right? That's asking somebody whose neshama takes a journey on this earth what color the rental car was. Now, you need a rental car. If you don't have a rental car, how are you going to get from the airport, whether it's Las Vegas or Phoenix, to the Grand Canyon? But if you come back from the Grand Canyon and all you say is, I have to tell you, this rental car, it had power windows. In the old days, we had manual windows. This rental car had power windows and a keyless entry. So they say, you just do this on a shibboleth. Crazy. You went to the Grand Canyon. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. What people say about the Grand Canyon, that's awesome. Right? Anybody here ever been there? People say it's like breathtaking. Mamish, right? So could you imagine someone coming back from the Grand Canyon and the only thing they had to talk about was that their rental car was a Volkswagen Beetle.
I went in a convertible.
Oh, okay. Good. Ashrecha. Right?
It's not a good idea because we went to an Indian reservation and they didn't have roads.
Oh.
So all the dirt.
Nice.
Don't do that.
But seriously, right? Like, would anybody ever do that? You totally lost your mind. So that's what Avolbi is saying is the punchline of this Gemara. That our goof, that's like the rental car going to the Grand Canyon. If a person defines themselves in that way, it's true. It's not that it's untrue, but it's such a small way of looking at life. Life is about the Grand Canyon. It's about the grand vista, about the panorama. It's about the neshama. It's about the values that we live by and the kind of people that we are. You know, whether or not our hair is falling out or whether or not we can run a marathon anymore because our feet are aching or our bones are tired, that's not the sheer koma at all. He says, we recognize that comes from Adam Arishon. That, as he says, third to last line of the paragraph, Uka Adam Arishon Sha'amar, Kilo Noeli, Kore Adam Ki Hamak Meho Adam Alukach. And that's what Rashi is saying. But if a person who really knows themselves, they understand that their true self is their neshama. But go to the last paragraph, one more point. He says, Od Zos Ono Lomeda Midivri Rashi Al Hamara. We also see something from Rashi about Mara. Now, we spoke about it before in the context of the idea about Mara Shchora, and that there are hormones, and the idea of a person being comprised not just of a physical component, but also of an emotional quality. But he says, he takes it and sharpens it. He says, Od Zos, last little paragraph here, Anu Lomdu Mitibir Rashi Al Hamara. We also learn from Rashi about the bile, that what? Ki ha'adam eino yatziv b'tivo. A person in their natural state is not yatziv. The word yatziv means stationary. Nitzavim, standing still. A person is not yatziv. What is the distinction? How would you know, especially in the times of the Gemara, how would they know whether a person is living or lo aleinu, not living anymore? Whether the person moves. The person who was still and did not move, so that was an indication that there was no life. A person who is alive, and Rav Kook develops this idea on a spiritual level, a person who is alive is constantly moving and fluctuating. And Rav Kook writes in the Ein Hayah that that's actually a symbol, an indication of spiritual life too. That, ironically, says that when we go through periods of alios, of heights, of of times when we're inspired, and yuridos, and times when we're down, when we're fluctuating. He says, don't be depressed the fact that you're moving down. That's actually an indication that you're alive. The fact that we have peaks and valleys, struggles and victories, and back and forth and back and forth, that's a simon, that's an indication that we're alive. Because if we were dead, we wouldn't move at all. Finishes that it's true even spiritually, that when we have good times and difficult times, that's also an indication of life. We're still alive. That's why we're going through this cycle. He says, Eino yatziv betivo. And what? What did Rashi say? What affects your bile? Shinui ha'itim v'ha'machalim. The changes of the time, of the season. You know, there are people who can tell you when it's going to rain because they feel that. Mashpiyim al matzav rucho. They affect a person. Ve'ein adam ba'olam ha'nimtza tamid b'matzav ruach shaveh. There is nobody who is in a matzav ruach, means in a mood that is always the same. Our moods change. Lachain, he concludes the paragraph, hu tzarich tamid lehilachem im chul shaso. A person needs to constantly struggle with their weaknesses. How to combat that feeling of, wow, I have this deficiency right now. But the other way to look at this, perhaps, is from the opposite side, from a prophylactic standpoint, which is, wait a second. If my system, my mara shchora, especially my temperament, is affected by what I eat, and that's an analogy, that's a metaphor for the things that I do, the things that are around me, you know what? I need to get to learn myself. What are the things that I eat that cause me to run to the medicine cabinet? What are the things that I do that cause me to feel that Mara is rising or lowering? And be proactive about it. Maybe I need a spiritual checkup. I need to go through my labs and figure out, you know, if I got more sleep, then maybe I would be less moody on a practical level. Maybe I need to eat a certain food. We go back to the vitamin D analogy. Maybe I need to eat more bananas, or maybe I need to get more sunshine. I need to walk outside or sit outside. So that's true on a physical level, and of course it's also true on a spiritual level. If I'm a person who's very patient, super chilled, like type B, but if I were such a person, if I could even understand the psychology of such a person, so then that person might struggle and say, you know, I need to accomplish something today, because if I don't really get myself going, if I don't make a schedule for myself, I'm just going to sit around. And then the type A person might say, you know, you are hyperthyroid. You know, you've got too much going on. You're not focused enough in the presence, like presence, like being present, in the presence of what you're doing. But that all comes from knowing your labs. So recognizing that we have these cycles and that we are affected, that our mara is affected by our environment and the things that we do, gives us the opportunity to say, I actually, to a large extent, can control my environment. I can decide, even if it's snowing outside, I can still go to the weather center and exercise. It's snowing, doesn't matter. I can still find that time. And the same thing on a spiritual level. If I'm feeling that I'm in a period where it's snowing all the time, so maybe I need to get myself a warm cup of spiritual hot chocolate. You know? And maybe that will change my mara shchora into something that's better. But a lot of this is recognizing that ebb and flow. And the same way that every year we should go to the doctor for a checkup, and usually they take some kind of blood work and they tell you, you know, we check your cholesterol and we check your this and your that. They check tomorrow. So this is the time. Tomorrow we're getting ready for the Yom HaKadosh, for Yom HaKippurim. There's no better time than to take a few moments to think about where is it that we find our highs and our lows, and where are we being affected, and how do we set a chart for ourselves of a prescription, a spiritual prescription, to make sure that we get enough spiritual vitamin D, and that our thyroid is exactly where it's supposed to be, and the calcium is where it's supposed to be. That's, I think, one of the things that we can think about as a takeaway from this idea of the Adam not just being a farer, which is static, that's ashes, that's, and then being Dam, which is always rushing and energetic. It's the Mara, it's that movement that's very sensitive to the little changes that affect us in a big way. And hopefully we will all merit a Shana Tova, Gemara Chasina Tova. Hope you have a wonderful year. Daven well. Amen. Thank you.